Hello and welcome to Power Play. I'm Evan Solomon. Today on another special edition of the program, the largest aid package in Canadian history. This is crucial. New details emerge today about the emergency response for families and for businesses, and Parliament is going to be recalled. Here's what the Prime Minister said.
This is the largest economic program in Canada's history. So I've asked the House Leader and the Deputy Minister to reach out to the other parties about bringing back Parliament. This must be a Team Canada effort. Governments of all orders across the country are stepping up to fulfill their responsibilities to Canadians. Canada hasn't seen this type of civic mobilization since the Second World War.
So who will get the aid, and why do businesses have to wait 6 weeks for it? And does Canada have a shortage of key medical supplies? The Finance Minister, Bill Morneau, will join us in just a moment. Then the opposition leaders, both Andrew Scheer and Jagmeet Singh, will join us. Then the former NDP leader and now CTV commentator Tom Mulcair will break down news out of Quebec and the high number of cases there and why that province has now suddenly set up a checkpoint between the Ontario border. And the press gallery will break it down. We've got special guests, John Manley, the former finance minister, and Dan Kelly, the CEO of the Independent Business Association. This is Power Play. Let's get to the players. It is the biggest aid program in Canadian history. The details announced today to support business will cost the taxpayer $71 billion, and the Canadian Emergency Response Benefit Program will cost $24 billion. With other benefit and aid packages, we are well over $150 billion, maybe close to $200 billion. Who is eligible for the 75% wage subsidy that will be retroactive to May 15th and will be up to $875 a week, up to the first $58,700? So those are the details. But why does it take 6 weeks to get the money to businesses who are struggling with cash flow right now? Let's find out. Joining me now is the Finance Minister, Bill Morneau. Mr. Morneau, first of all, great to have you here. I hope you and your family are safe as this continues to affect every single person in the country. Huge announcements today. A lot of people are waiting for it. Can you outline who exactly qualifies for this subsidy?
Well, let me start, Evan, by saying I'm pleased to be on your show, and thanks for asking about my family. We're all doing well. Three of my kids are doing online learning like so many other families, and we're making sure we keep safe, and I hope Canadians are broadly trying to take the same sorts of measures. Today, what we announced really was a very important step in our goals to make sure that we're getting people the money they need, getting businesses the support they need in a really challenging time, as we all know. The wage subsidy that we announced today is intended to allow employers to keep employees attached to their business. It's providing up to 75% of their pre-crisis earnings, up to a total of $847 per week. And that's going to allow people to stay engaged with their employer, to have the sort of money they need to keep their families supported. We know it's critically important as well to allow our economy to get up and rolling after this time of crisis. So the intent, of course, is to do all those things. It's significant. As you heard earlier, this is an enormous decision that we think is the right decision to support people in a really challenging time.
Clearly, since the first announcements, the criteria have widened as to who is eligible for this. You said today, as did the Prime Minister, bars and restaurants will be eligible. But I'm getting a ton of questions. I'm sure you are. For example, somebody who is a single sole proprietor, has no employees, but pays themselves a salary. I got a call today from a dentist who said, you know, I still got my bills, but no one's coming to the dentist. Do I qualify? Would those people qualify for this?
The intent is for a business that has experienced a 30% or more drop in revenue, that what they're able to do is they're able to have a wage subsidy up to three quarters of the income that someone was getting pre-crisis, up to $847. So really, if you meet those criteria, then the answer is yes. You're going to be able to apply for and get this wage subsidy, showing that you've actually paid that amount to your employer, the person that's getting the money. For those people who don't have access to this because they're not attached to a company. So somebody who, whether they're driving a taxi or a personal support worker, a trainer in a gym, those people will be able to go on our Canada Emergency Response Benefit and get $500 a week for 16 weeks. So they're, what we're trying to do is make sure that we're supporting everybody during this challenging time, and also to make sure that businesses have the capacity to maintain connection with their employees so that we can get back up and running as soon as possible as we get through this crisis.
Minister, the CEO of the Canadian Federation of Independent Business, Dan Kelly, who is with us, likes this, although he says the proof of 30% drop in gross revenue on a month-by-month basis, and that's comparing revenues to the same time last year, I appreciate, but he says for a lot of companies that's going to be difficult if you're a new business, if you're a seasonal business, or, you know, maybe something's changed. How could that be too challenging and actually cut out people who are desperate right now?
Look, Evan, I know that people are going to be looking for all of the details. We will be publishing those in the days to come. But to the specific things you just mentioned, I mean, what we're trying to do is to find a way to make this work. We've chosen a 30% drop in revenue because that's a significant impact by COVID-19. It's similar to what other countries have chosen for a revenue impact. And what we're saying is if in March 2020, you're 30% down versus March 2019, that's a way you can prove it. If you are a brand new business and you've started up in the last 6 months, we're going to find a way to compare against your more recent revenue. If you're a seasonal business, of course, you'll be able to compare this year to last year, which is consistent. So there are details to put out there. I know that people will all have their views on how we should design this. What I can say is we are trying our best to make sure that we support people. We are ensuring that we can get money out to people as rapidly as possible. That we see is absolutely critical. And we think this is a very important part of keeping our economy healthy, keeping firms attached to their employees.
And Minister, I appreciate that. And I keep saying this every day. This is an enormous program designed in days as opposed to what should take years. So we all appreciate the government is building the plane as you're flying the plane. But one of the big questions today is you said that the money will not flow for 6 weeks. Businesses are in a severe cash flow crunch right now. Why is it going to take 6 weeks?
Well, what we've tried to do is to make sure we can get this done as rapidly as possible. We're doing more than one thing at the same time. We are putting in place what we've called the Canada Emergency Business Account, a $40,000 credit line for businesses to go to banks. The banks have told me that that'll be up and running within 3 weeks. The system that we're putting in place for businesses, this wage subsidy, what it requires is us to use the Canada Revenue Agency to get the money to employers. What we think that we can do is within 3 to 6 weeks, and we're hopeful that it'll be closer to three, we'll actually be able to start that running. In the interim, what we want businesses to do is to make sure they have a connection, an electronic connection to the Canada Revenue Agency. A lot of them already do, about 90% do, and also direct deposit so they can get the money quickly. Only about 50% of businesses currently on direct deposit from the CRA. We want them to do that during the same time period so the money can flow as rapidly as possible. But, you know, we're going to have to make sure we get the administration right. We're working every day to make sure we can get this money out as we are to individuals. We know it's crucial, and we're going to make it work.
Okay. But time's everything, and you know that. People are being laid off. There's 1.5 million people that need to be processed already or more. Why not give immediate support today? You could, for example, immediately, CRA could refund GST payments collected in the last 6 months. Andrew Scheer's asked you to do that. Or you could just give a direct check, for example, by looking at tax returns and just say, here's an immediate check, and then get it right and wait the 3 to 6 weeks. Why couldn't you do that as a quicker bridge, sir?
Look, Evan, everyone's going to have their idea. And what we've been trying to do is to figure out not only how we can do something that's going to have an important difference and how we can get the money to people quickly. I will tell you that we have been driven by those two issues, and this is where we've gotten to. But this is significantly bigger than what other people are talking about in terms of the scale of what we're doing. Obviously, committing to an emergency wage subsidy that's we calculate will be $71 billion. I mean, it's the single biggest decision that's been taken since World War II for this country. We know that this is important. We know that getting the money out to people is important. And we're doing other things at the same time. We've already said that people are deferring their taxes that would have been due right through till September. Right. That's putting money in the economy right now. We've said to people, small businesses or businesses that have any sort of GST payable, they can defer that for March, April, and May. Those payments would have been due now. So there's multiple things we're doing at the same time. We appreciate people's advice, of course, and we're listening and we're taking action. But what we've done is we've put in place significant programs that are going to be able to get money to individuals, the emergency response benefit, and it'll be starting to flow next week, and to businesses, and it'll be starting to flow soon. And that's what we're working on right now.
Minister, I got a couple minutes and I want to run through real quick a couple things. Apparently, Parliament's got to be recalled in order to change the legislation to get this 75% wage subsidy up. Why wasn't that in the initial legislation to allow you to have this flexibility? Was that a failure not to put it in the first legislation? Now you got to take more time and recall Parliament.
You know, first of all, Evan, this is such a large program that we think that the right thing is to do is to have an all-party approach. That's why the Prime Minister has asked the House Leader to talk to the other parties to get us back to legislation. Importantly, I think last week we got to a legislation together that could allow us to move forward. And this situation is very dynamic. So as we figure out how to deal with it, we are going to work together with the other parties to get it done expeditiously. So that's what we're doing. The coming back to Parliament will not delay because we're already starting work on the system. That's important. So coming back to Parliament allows us to work together to make sure all of us agree with the significant support that we're going to give to individuals, to businesses. This is really important to work together to get this done.
Jason Kenney, the Premier of Alberta, told me on this program yesterday he's expecting an aid package for the energy sector, which has been hit by the perfect storm, the collapse of the oil price to unprecedented lows, that you will be announcing a special aid package to the energy sector as early as this week. Can you confirm that?
Well, what I can tell you is that we really do understand that this challenge in Alberta is so significant. It is the combination of COVID-19 and the OPEC situation. The wage subsidy that we announced today will, of course, support businesses across the country, including those businesses that are very challenged in Alberta because so many of them have had that 30% revenue drop. Additionally, we've been looking at how we can provide credit for businesses that are going through the challenge that they're going through right now. And of course, the oil and gas sector, the energy sector, is going through that particular challenge. So yes, we've been working with the banks on how we can extend credit. It's across sectors. It's not just the energy sector. The airline sector has been hit bad, the hospitality sector more broadly. So the answer to Premier Kenney and to people in Alberta is we are working hard to find a way to make sure that we can be supportive of all Albertans, but all Canadians as well.
Okay, I got 30 seconds here for this. Air Canada just laid off over 15,000 workers, sir. Will the government bail out that company, or should they have availed themselves of these massive programs and rehired those people?
We hope that businesses like Air Canada, like any business going through this massive change in revenues, will look at this program and say they can rehire their people and they can pay them up to $847 a week if it's 75% of their income. So that is what we're hoping. Additionally, for businesses across many sectors, we are going to be looking at how we can ensure that we bridge this gap so that we have an economy that's strong afterwards. Of course, that includes the airlines. It also includes businesses in other sectors because we want our economy to be intact. We want great jobs. We know the situation is temporary, and we need to bridge it and support Canadians along the way.
Finally, TD Bank is projecting a deficit in 2020-2021 of $180 billion, 8% of GDP. Is that number accurate, and does it worry you?
It's far too early for us to be coming to numbers like that. We are in a dynamic situation. What we're going to continue to do is focus on how we can ensure people can get through this crisis, make sure that we have an economy afterwards by supporting businesses. And that means we've got to make the kinds of investments that are going to be supportive. It will certainly be something that we have to make much more significant investments than we ever could have imagined. But the good news is we start with an excellent fiscal position. We have the capacity to do that. We will come out of this and be able to continue to be strong because we've made the kinds of supports that are necessary in this time. So we'll look at those analyses, but we will continue to make the investments we need to make.
Mr. Morneau, I appreciate your time, an incredibly busy day and an historic announcement today on the size of this program. Thank you, sir, and do take care of yourself and your family. Thanks, Mr. Morneau.
Okay, thanks, Evan. You too.
All right, let's get some reaction from the opposition. Jagmeet Singh is standing by, but right now the leader of the official opposition, Andrew Scheer, is here. He joins us from Regina. Mr. Scheer, you spoke today about, and we'll get to some of your criticisms, but that was Bill Morneau. You've heard the details of the $71 billion plan. What do you make of this wage subsidy plan?
Well, first of all, it's hard to have confidence in ministers like Minister Morneau when they simply can't be honest with Canadians. The reality is they racked up massive amounts of deficits while times were good. We are not going into this pandemic in a strong position as they would have us believe, because they racked up tens of billions of dollars of deficits worth of wasteful spending. So that has caused us to go into this crisis with a lot less flexibility, a lot less room to maneuver. And that's one of the unfortunate consequences of their decisions. I would point out when it comes to the wage subsidy that this seems to be very chaotic. Their first announcement was 10% wage subsidy. We pointed out that was not going to make the difference for most employees. They then came to Parliament, recalled us to draft pass legislation that ended up having not sufficient for the proposals that they announced. So they haven't really been instilling confidence in Canadians that they're managing this crisis in a consistent manner.
Polls are showing Canadians are a bit more confident, but let me get some specifics. Now you've heard them. They've got up to 75% now. It's going to take 6 weeks. There's a lot of measures out there. They're spending, by my calculation, over $140 billion right now. What is your biggest concern about that? Is it enough? Are you concerned about the speed? What are your concerns about the current moment?
Well, you touched on the speed, and the fact that this is going to take up to 6 weeks concerns us. People are going through hardship right now in real time. The people are facing layoffs or have already been laid off. They have to figure out how to pay their bills and stay in their homes or in their apartments. So the 6 week timeline, we want to get a better understanding of why that is. What could the government have been doing on the front end of this? This idea of a wage subsidy was first proposed a few weeks ago. So they certainly have had time to build a program that can deliver the assistance out the door. So that's going to be part of our focus in the coming session that Parliament will be summoned back to Ottawa for. In addition, I have to respond to the minister's response as it relates to the GST aspect. A deferral for GST payments for small businesses is not going to help get them through this storm. Everyone knows that the government gets that money eventually. Small businesses won't be able to use that cash to pay the rent today when they know that they have to hand it over to the government. Deferring it from April to September doesn't mean that it really frees that up. So what we've been calling for is an outright rebate. Let the businesses keep that. Let them use that money instead of paying it to the government. Let them pay off their bills, keep their rent payments going, keep their businesses afloat.
But Mr. Morneau said that's not going to amount to nearly as much as this program. So, there's a lot of different ideas. His answer when I asked him about that was, this program is significantly bigger and more comprehensive than that idea that you've got. What do you make of that?
Well, look, we've been supportive of the wage measure. We do believe that it will help keep some people working. Those businesses that have seen a reduction in revenue will certainly be able to make use of it. But what we're also concerned about are those businesses that have not seen a reduction in revenue. They've seen an outright stoppage. It's been a catastrophic stop in customers coming through the door. Restaurants have been ordered to close. Many retail outlets have been ordered to close. So a wage subsidy isn't going to help them stay open because there are no wages to pay. They've canceled all the shifts, not just some of them. So that's why this additional step is needed.
Just before I let you go, Parliament's going to be recalled and you're going to be asked to support this or not. Will you support this $71 billion aid package and the 75% wage subsidy?
Well, you know, last time the government called us to Ottawa to pass their package, they slipped in some bombshell power grabs aimed at sidelining Parliament. We're going to be very vigilant on that. As I said, we support the idea of wage subsidies. We were the party calling for them to be lifted, to be raised from 10%. But we are always vigilant as an opposition. We are going to be extra vigilant. We want to have open and transparent conversations with the government as to exactly what they're going to bring to Parliament. And if it makes sense, if it looks like it'll help Canadians, we'll support it. But we won't support measures that just give this Liberal government even more power than it already has.
Monsieur, I got to leave it there. Please do take care and stay safe to you and your family. As I say to everybody, thank you for joining us. I always appreciate hearing your voice. So you've got the reaction from the finance minister. You've got the reaction from the leader of the Conservative Party. Coming up next, what does the NDP think about the latest package? Will they support it when Parliament is recalled? Jagmeet Singh joins us after a short break. Then the press gallery will weigh in. Stay right here with Power Play. Welcome back to Power Play. Today, we finally got details on the government's wage subsidy program that will cover 75% of workers' wages for qualifying businesses. It's retroactive to March 15th, and it will cost you $71 billion. That is on top of the billions the government's already spending on other financial aid measures. So will the Liberal government's plan be enough to help Canadians through what could be months and months of deeply uncertain time? And then the question is the money coming out fast enough? As we just learned from Bill Morneau before the break, there's a six-week wait, or up to 6 weeks. Let's get reaction from the leader of the NDP, Jagmeet Singh. He joins us now from Toronto. And Mr. Singh, I hope you and your loved ones are well in this unprecedented crisis. What's your reaction to the wage subsidy details that were announced? Who qualifies? And I guess most importantly, the up to six-week-long wait.
Well, for the measure itself, in principle, this is something we've long been calling for. A week before we came back to Parliament, we mentioned some important things that we needed urgency. We needed to immediately move to help people keep their jobs, keep money in their pockets, and protect their homes. While we were in Parliament, I called on the government, acknowledged that the wage subsidy they had announced at the time seemed unprecedented, but a week later, it was no longer enough to help families and businesses that were struggling, workers that were losing their jobs. So I called for a 75% wage subsidy, at least the way other countries like Denmark, UK, and Sweden have had at least 75% or more in terms of wage subsidy. My concern now is, again, the urgency. If we want to help people keep their jobs, the wage subsidy is a good way to do it. But the six-week wait time to receive that subsidy is going to mean that a lot of businesses are going to let go of their employers before this benefit actually rolls out. And that, to me, is very troubling. We need to do everything we can to keep money in people's pockets, to make sure they've got a job to return to, and make sure they've got a safe place to live. This is about jobs, and it has to be quicker.
Yeah, but how do you make it quicker? Look, this is the biggest aid package in Canadian history. This is a really complicated piece of legislation that you're going to have to vote on. How could you get that kind of money out the door more quickly?
It's really a question of the urgency is there. We need to do it. So we have to find a way. This isn't something where we've got the option to delay. I'm willing to speed up the passage of the legislation. But what we need to know is all efforts possible being taken to make sure this money gets to businesses? What is the point of having a wage subsidy that is going to be significant if it's too late and businesses end up letting go of their employees anyways? That to me is terribly...
But okay, I think you're making a fair point, but how would you get it to go? And I think everybody wants it quicker. How would you get it out the door more quickly? The finance minister, Bill Morneau, just told me it could be 3 to 6 weeks, but he wants people who apply to it to try to rehire employees that they've temporarily laid off. Is there a better option? And if so, what is it?
Well, I mean, one of the things is, it's always difficult to look back, but when we were in Parliament, I had asked the government to consider a 75% wage subsidy. I had asked multiple times in the House during the time period we had for questions, and I made it a part of my speech. We could have passed this back then. I was willing to provide the support, and that's what the Liberal government needs, at least one party willing to support. I would have, I've already said that's something I believe in. We could have passed it then. I just can't accept that in the year 2020, with all the resources, all the technology at our disposal, we can't find a way to do it faster. I don't have all the answers on the how. I just know we need to. And if we need to, I'm confident we can find a way.
I guess so. This is $71 billion got to get out the door. There's a lot of packages out there. The how will be difficult. What will be the biggest question you have when you come back to Parliament to vote on this, sir?
Well, my biggest concern is that any public dollar, any amount of money that we spend has to be tied directly to workers. I don't want to see a scenario where we're spending billions of dollars that go to CEOs or go to shareholders and don't go to workers. So really, the wage subsidy to me seemed like a really good idea because it's tied directly to wages. I just want to ensure that any measure we take is going directly to ensuring people have a job, people have salaries, people have wages. That's important to me. That's where the focus has to be on any measure that stimulates the economy or any measure that tries to subsidize or support industry. It has to be tied to jobs, maintaining, creating, keeping people hired.
All right, Mr. Singh, I got to leave it there today. This is going to be a very consequential moment. I really appreciate you dropping in on another incredibly busy day. That is the leader of the NDP, Jagmeet Singh. We're going to take a real short break. But coming up next, why has Quebec suddenly set up provincial border checkpoints? That's right, border checkpoints between Ontario. Tom Mulcair, the former leader of the NDP, but also now CTV commentator, is standing by on that and on the big aid package. Lots to come on Power Play. Stay with us.
We've freed 6,000 beds for the next few weeks. We are also one of the first place in North America to close non-essential businesses. We are also one of the places that tests the most in the world. And we're working very hard to continue having medical supplies we need.
Quebec Premier François Legault on another daily press conference is talking about shortages, but he also did something else today. A barrier between the Ontario-Quebec border. There was a backup of cars on either side of the Quebec-Ontario border today, not far from this window behind me, right between Ottawa and Gatineau, which is right there, as the Quebec government moves to restrict more non-essential border crossings into their province. Now, police checkpoints have been set up in a few areas. Look at these pictures along the Outaouais to screen motorists as they drive by. Is it going too far? And you heard the premier, is Quebec facing a real medical equipment shortage? Here to discuss that and other issues, former NDP leader, now CTV commentator Tom Mulcair. He joins us from his residence via Skype. Tom, I hope you and your family are healthy and staying well in the middle of this crisis. An aggressive approach today from Premier Legault, that those checkpoints between the border, is that going too far?
Well, it started a week ago. Exactly last Wednesday, New Brunswick started shutting down the border between it and Quebec. Quebec shut down its side of that border on Saturday. So what's been happening mostly in cottage country, because the areas being talked about today are the hills outside of Gatineau, the Laurentian Mountains that have access through places like Lachute, because the Hawkesbury-Grenville-Lachute big bridge there as well into Quebec, that was also being policed by the Sûreté, the Quebec Provincial Police, today. So I think they're just trying to make sure that people stop what has been going on, which is going back and forth between cottages and the big cities.
Yeah, it's scary to see this, you know, police stopping people. People are showing ID. The city of Ottawa and the Ottawa police said they were not even informed about the move. Ottawa's not going to put down their personnel on the Ontario side. But I guess my question, does this have a potential to escalate and we will experience more interprovincial travel restrictions?
One of the biggest challenges since the beginning, and you've noted it as well, is the patchwork quilt of solutions across the country. I mean, this is supposed to be a federation where there are a certain number of things that get done from the center, and we dictate what the rules are going out. And so to have provinces taking it upon themselves to do this simply begs the question, who's leading in this crisis? Sometimes very good decisions are taken in one province. That becomes the best practice and it gets imitated. But nobody's requiring it. Today, Quebec said about 10 days after BC that it would start restricting people working in more than one senior's residence. Evan, we've got people who've been working in many, a lot of temp agencies. BC put a stop to it. Their problem was based on privatization. A lot of people were in the gig economy. They were working in several centers. That increased the risk. Those are easy best practices. They're not being imposed. It's catch as catch can. That's the problem that we've got right now in Canada. There's no central authority saying, okay, this is what we have to do to protect seniors' residents, for example.
Yeah, you mentioned senior residents and long-term residences. You've heard about the absolutely horrific tragedy that's going on at a long-term residence in Ontario near Bob Cajun, where way too many people not only have COVID-19 but have died from it.
Yes.
Quebec, terrible. The numbers are also really serious. It's like those are hot zones. What's going on in Quebec there?
Well, it's the same thing. These are the most vulnerable people, and that's why they had to be protected. So the government did take one very tough early decision, which is to ban all visits. So people like me and my family, my mom is in a residence in the Laurentians, and we can talk to her on the phone. We've got one guardian angel who works there who will FaceTime us in, but there's no way to talk to her. Other than that, we can't go hold her in our arms. Everybody's frustrated with that, but that's protecting them. But in the meantime, temp agencies were sending in people who were covering any number of residences in a week. So it made no sense. So they're finally getting that figured out. But there was a best practice laid down in BC that should have been generalized immediately.
Yeah, my wife's a dear friend of my wife, just lost her mother, and actually she was in a long-term care facility, but they were FaceTiming right up to the end. That's the best you can do right now. Tom Mulcair, I hope you and your family are okay. I know we'll have many more conversations in the fraught days to come. That's Tom Mulcair. Coming up next, the Press Gallery breaks down the government's $71 billion wage subsidy plan. And the real question, I asked it to the finance minister, why the six-week wait? And then the stunning admission by the health minister, why didn't we have enough medical supplies? Lots to come on Power Play. Stay with us. Welcome back to Power Play, everybody. Well over $100 billion in spending in a matter of weeks. That's roughly how much the federal government is throwing down to financially help Canadians and businesses through this COVID-19 outbreak. Details of the spending measures, like the $71 billion emergency wage subsidy plan, were unveiled by the finance minister today. He was just on our program. Will it be enough to help? And why does it take up to 6 weeks to arrive? The Press Gallery is here to break it all down. Joining us from their homes, this is the new reality, folks. CTV reporters Annie Bergeron-Oliver and Molly Thomas are here. Joining us from Ottawa, special guest, former Deputy Prime Minister John Manley. And out of Toronto, another special guest, Dan Kelly, the President and the CEO of the Canadian Federation of Independent Businesses. Hey, I hope everybody's doing okay in this ridiculously strange and dangerous crisis. I'm going to start with you, Dan Kelly, and you and I keep speaking. Finance Minister said there's $71 billion, the 75% wage subsidy, but 6 weeks to wait. What are your concerns about this program?
Well, the first thing on the minds of every business owner is I've got three pay periods to meet before I can get any relief from the federal government. And for many of them, that's going to be just too many pay periods to hang on. I am not sure with some of the restrictions that they put on the program whether or not it's going to tip the balance in favor of hanging on to employees over the layoffs that many of them have been actively considering because their businesses have dropped, business income has dropped so much. The 30% figure and the 6 weeks, I think, are two barriers to get this really taken up in a big way by small and medium-sized companies. Look, it remains a good program, a huge investment, and I really feel for the minister and his staff to be able to turn a program that would otherwise take 2 years and develop in a week or so. But this, I'm not sure if it's going to be able to hold back the waves of layoffs that we would otherwise be seeing.
John Manley, you've been there. You know how complex the challenges are. And I'm with Dan Kelly. This may be a good program, but if it's not delivered on time, it may miss the very critical period. What are your concerns about this, John Manley?
Well, very similar to what Dan's concerns are, but I have to say, I've never been there. This is unprecedented, and I give the government a lot of credit for listening to what the concerns are, putting a lot of money into the system to try to make everything work. But I have the same concerns that Dan has. You know, if you think about it, You're going to have to qualify on a month-by-month basis if you're an employer. Some may know. They're, you know, if you're in the hospitality industry, you're not going to worry about the 30%. Your revenues have gone to zero. But there are businesses out there that may be close to that loss of revenue, but aren't sure, really, are worried about the bureaucracy. And I just don't know if this is enough of an incentive to allow people to say, we're going to maintain our payroll, even though we're burning cash, even though we've got nothing coming in, because we expect this will arrive in 6 weeks' time. There's just too many ifs there for me.
Yeah, and Annie Bergeron Oliver, the finance minister said, get ready to hire people back. You and I and Molly and all of us have been trying to sort through the really confusing information on this. What struck you about the new details that emerged today, Annie?
Well, as you know, the other two guests were talking about, that 3 to 6 week period definitely struck me as something, it seems like quite a while. And you have to ask whether the government missed the mark on this one, because the fact that they're encouraging businesses to hire people back means a lot of businesses have already laid off their employees. In many cases, they've already paid their employees severance. So what happens to that? And I think what's happening is it's just showing how much uncertainty there is for businesses, not only in the complications around this program, but in their future. Let's not think about, you know, don't forget all of the businesses that are trying to be very creative right now, selling products online that they've never done before. And yet that might actually hurt their ability to get access to this program. And then in addition, you have to think there are lots of companies who have products in their store right now that they can't sell, and they're trying to decide whether or not they should start ordering more products for the Christmas time, for 6 or 7 months down the line. Is this enough for them to continue bringing back employees and to continue their business? Or do they look at the uncertainty in the economy right now and say, it's not worth it, we're just going to fold altogether?
Yeah, Molly, your take on this, because there's, you know, these cliches abound and it's easy to be critical on what looks like an impossibly difficult task. But, you know, are they is the cure too late to actually fix the disease, which is in this case mass layoffs?
Yeah, for some people, I mean, that 3 to 6 week mark is going to make the biggest difference, right? But if you can get that money out in 3 weeks, it's going to make a huge difference for so many businesses we've been talking to. If it's 6 weeks, so many of them will fold by then. I think that's really important to keep in mind. At the same time, you know, one thing that was added today and we saw it was not just small and medium-sized businesses. We're also seeing help for the charitable sector. And that's something we haven't talked about a lot. There's 86,000 charities in Canada. This is a sector that is really a shock absorber for crisis situations for vulnerable populations. And so giving them an option to have wage subsidies for people in their organizations also keeps them afloat. And that keeps the most vulnerable people in Canada also taken care of.
Yeah, that's a key point. The criteria have clearly widened. Restaurants, bars, NGOs, anybody that's experienced a loss will be eligible. But the timeline is critical. Guys, can I just take a real short break? I want to talk more about this. I also want to talk about the stunning admission by the health minister that the Canadian government did not have enough emergency medical stockpiles. What does that mean? Lots to come on Power Play. Stay with us. Welcome back to Power Play, everyone. Before we get back to the press gallery to pick up our discussion, a quick update from the Premier of Alberta, Jason Kenney, on the COVID-19 situation in that province. Check out what he just said.
100 deaths. Here in Alberta, testing has confirmed 117 new cases over the last 24 hours, bringing the total to 871. This large jump in the number of new infections in Alberta is due mainly to the fact that Alberta Health Services processed a large number of backlog tests, indeed over 4,500 over the past 24 hours, a record number for a single day. That backlog had developed because of a temporary shortage of reagents, an essential element in the testing. We now have an adequate stock of those supplies. We also must share the sad news that two more Albertans have died as a result of COVID-19. Our deepest sympathies go out to the loved ones of those who have been lost.
So those are the latest numbers from Alberta Premier Jason Kenney. Gosh, every time you hear a loss, folks, not a statistic, a real life, hard to have a funeral, heart. I mean, you just got to pause for a minute and think about the agony going, affecting so many Canadians. I want to bring back the press gallery right now. Dan Kelly's our special guest. So is John Manley. And of course, our two CTV reporters, Molly Thomas and Annie Bergeron-Oliver. Look, we just heard Jason Kenney there. There are real concerns about Canada's stockpile of critical medical equipment. In a stunning admission today, the Health Minister, Patty Hajdu, admitted that Canada was not prepared. We didn't have enough key medical equipment to manage the pandemic. Check out what she just said today.
To your question about whether we had enough, no, we likely did not have enough. I think federal governments for decades have been underfunding things like public health preparedness. And I would say that obviously governments all across the world are in the same exact situation. It is an extremely competitive space right now for personal protective equipment. We are pulling out all of the stops.
And I get that, but Annie Bergeron-Oliver, I got to start with you. I was asking the health minister a month and a half ago, are we ready? And apparently we were. Now suddenly there's an admission. Actually, we weren't. What does that mean to you?
Well, I think it means that the government has been getting increasing pressure from the provincial governments as well as from frontline workers saying they don't have enough. You know, we're hearing of hospitals right across this country where workers are getting one mask, told sometimes to take it home to wash it, and that's not supposed to happen. And so now the government is being very blunt, saying for the first time, you know, no, we are in limited supplies. Let's not forget that for weeks when we were asking, the government said, no, there are no shortages. We have the supplies. Now I think the game has changed a bit. It's getting far more competitive to get these supplies. And now the government is saying, no, we don't have the supply, but we're working hard to get it. And, you know, should we be surprised? Maybe not. Just look at Ontario, for example, right? After SARS, they had tens of millions of N95 masks that were allowed to expire. Was there more procurement? We don't know, but that's just one example. In Ontario, after SARS, all of those N95 masks were allowed to expire, Evan.
Molly, and it gives, and again, everything comes with a caveat. This is unprecedented. The government and governments all over the world are challenged. So I think we got to always calibrate our response. By the same token, does this go to kind of a sense that the government's messaging over the last 2 months almost, you know, we're ready, this is a low threat, has been wrong? Could this kind of erode trust in the message at a very critical time?
Yeah, it's a complete change in tone, Evan. We've heard the prime minister get up and tell the whole country that we have enough supplies and everything that we're going to procure is extra. And now we're hearing from our own stockpiles that there hasn't been enough there. So this is a complete change in language. And this is at a time when, yes, Canadians need to feel confident that the country is in good hands and we know what's happening. It's funny. My producer, Mackenzie Gray, we talked about this a month ago. We had asked if we could go in and see the federal stockpiles. Could we take our cameras in and take a look at what we actually had? And they never allowed us to do that because we wanted to gauge how much do we actually have if this thing gets worse. And remember, we had a runway. We had a runway of other countries ahead of us, China, Italy, Spain, that where cases have been so much worse. And so I think we were late to the procurement game. If we knew something was coming at us, we should have been ahead of this way faster.
John Manley, can you weigh in? Trust is so absolutely critical as a currency in a crisis. Does that kind of admission, which may be candid, does it erode trust because it's contrasted with messaging in the last 6 weeks?
I think the point in the message is that it is contrasted. I think being transparent and open from the outset was what was called for. I think that Prime Minister has done actually pretty well in appearing to be candid and empathetic through all of this and to provide the kind of leadership that's required. But it would have been better had we been told early on that this exceeds anything that we expected. You could say it exceeds anything we could reasonably have expected. It wasn't foreseeable. And now we're concerned about being overwhelmed by it. That underscores the rest of the message, which is in order to be able to deal with this, we need Canadians to stay home. We need them to take shelter in place. We need them to do all the things the government's been saying. It would have been a stronger message had we been saying, by the way, if this gets out of control, don't expect that we have all of the resources we need.
And last minute, I'm just going to leave us out, Dan Kelly, your last response. You're talking to small business owners all the time. Parliament's coming back. Just real quick, what is the key message you are getting from small businesses who are hiring people, keeping food on the table for millions of Canadians?
Just how much stress the average business is under to try to balance the needs to protect their employees, to serve the public that they've been so lucky to have, and at the same time, try to keep their employees paid. There are businesses that are going, you know, digging into their own personal pockets to pay their payroll right now. How much longer they can, I'm not sure. And I do think the federal government, to its credit, has been open to further changes, and I'm hoping that that remains the case. This program is a good one, the wage support, but we are going to need to ask some serious questions about that 30%, because if we don't fix it now, I'm afraid we're not going to meet its intended goal.
Dan Kelly, I got to leave it there. Thank you. John Manley, always a pleasure to see you. And, of course, Molly and Annie, who I see all the time. Great to have both of you here. I think we got a freeze there on Molly's camera. That happens. I want to thank all of you. You know, we cover politics every day. We're trying to do our job and hold our leaders to account because it absolutely matters to do that. We appreciate that this is an unprecedented moment, but we hope all of you take good care of yourselves. We know it's a difficult time. We're trying to get you all the facts, not the fear, to help you and your families access whatever support the governments are available to give you. And of course, we really thank you for trusting us and joining us every day. Take good care of yourselves. As I always like to say, we are in this together, but stay apart. Thanks for watching. We'll be back here in 23 short hours. Have a great evening. I want to throw it back to my wonderful colleagues at CTV News Channel in Toronto, and we'll see you again tomorrow night from all of us here at Power Play. Thanks so much for watching.